Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this Thursday morning. We're getting ever closer to Super Bowl Sunday, 10 days to go, and obviously we'll gear up more and more for the actual playing of the game. Not so much the revelry of the NFC Championship game, although don't get me wrong, that is still very much in the air. But we'll start looking ahead to Super Bowl 52. We'll also talk a lot about Jalen Hurts today, who, you know, we've been so much in celebration mode, we haven't really done a deep dive on Jalen much this week. We'll get to that. We'll talk to Jason Kelce later. The Nick Sirianni interview from yesterday, we'll get to that coming up later this hour. So a lot to do with you. Of course, the Sixers did win last night, 4 in a row, which is good. But the big thing is the Eagles. And with you, 215-592-9494. Rich. Rich!
Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Dogs do not have appendixes.
You know what? They shouldn't. Because if we don't need them, why do they need them? I mean, after all, you know.
Well, we don't need them, but we still have them.
Well, we do. But that's, you know, I mean, that's like saying, what's the analogy, Seltzer? That's like, okay, here it is, here it is. That's like saying Devin White was an Eagle this year. Does he get a Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, I think what? If you play like a second for the Eagles, you get a Super Bowl ring.
That is a travesty.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if he ever got into a game, but even so,
he didn't.
I think if you're on the active roster at any point, I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive.
Devin White, Super Bowl champion with the Birds. All right, good morning to you. 215-592-9494. So let's get to it here. You know, obviously, great tidings are in the air, and we'll continue to revel with you if you want to call just on the emotional side how you feel and look ahead to the game and look back to the last one. All good, right? All good. But let's also get to the Jalen thing. So, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday. I said, I think that he's one of the most confounding figures I've ever seen in Philadelphia sports from the standpoint of people being very split, just frankly, on a very basic level of how good he is. You know, basic level, how good is he? And opinions are all over the place. And quarterback gets a lot of focus in this regard. You know, people were confused about Donovan to an extent. People were confused about Carson to an extent. And I think people are, more than anybody I've ever seen in Philly sports, really confused on Jalen. Now, he played a great game the other day. So let's reassess where we are as a fan base right now with Jalen Hurts, and curious where you stand at 215-592-9494. John, I'm going to ask this series of questions, and you tackle it, and I'll give you my thoughts on it all. I'm going to ask 4 questions. How good is he? How much do you trust him? Does he worry you? Is he underappreciated? All 4 questions on the table for everyone at 215-592-9494. How good is he? How much do you trust him? Does he worry you? Is he underappreciated? John, what are your thoughts off the cuff on those questions or any aspect of the Jalen Hurts thing?
I'd like to draw some parallels here. Okay.
Yep.
I watched from across the country. I watched our Eagles offense with Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb from across the country on tape, on the NFL tape.
When you were with the Raiders, you
said? Yes. Yeah, yeah. When I was a player, I was watching the defenses that played against the Eagles' offense, you know, to get ready week after week.
Yep.
I would, you know, cross paths with Andy Reid's, you know, schemes and Donovan's play and you know, the way that Deuce Staley was pass protecting and you know, catching the ball out of the backfield, the way they were using him, the way they were running the football. I just thought Donovan McNabb was something so special. And there was so, you know, he was a big reason why they were having this success in Philadelphia. I felt that way from across the country watching these tapes, these cut-ups.
Sure.
And I think that once I got here, I was so surprised at the acrimony directed at Donovan McNabb. When I got here, it was, you know, I was an unrestricted free agent. I could go where I wanted, you know, after 5 years in Oakland, and this is where I wanted to be because I wanted to be in this offense with Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid directing it. And when I got here, I was really shocked at the way that, I don't know, people viewed...
It was rough.
Donovan
yeah,
McNabb.
It was rough.
It was so different than the way I viewed him.
Right.
So I never got used to that, but I always watched. I couldn't believe the grace that he dealt with everything with. You know, with all the assaults pouring upon him from the stands. You know, even, like... 2 minutes into the first game, the grand opening yeah. of the link, and people are telling him he sucks.
Yeah, no, that game he was, but generally he was not.
Well, and it was again. It got heavy handed.
It did,
It got so heavy handed with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the franchise, and he's again about to be the first Eagles quarterback to start 2 Super Bowls.
Yep.
This guy is proving himself, and he continues to improve every day. That's what Nick Sirianni talks about. That's what he talks about. Improve 1% every day. We should be rejoicing as Eagles fans because this guy gives us the chance to win every game that we play in because of the way he plays football, the way he values the football, the way he protects the football. And he plays his best football in the biggest games. I plan to root this team on to winning big games, winning Super Bowls. This is the quarterback who can do that sort of thing. This is the guy who elevates his game in the biggest games. And he's also very tough. All the injuries that he's suffered, yeah. I guarantee we don't know the half, and not even the half. We mm-hmm. don't know anything mm-hmm. about what he's put himself through and played through and dealt with and never spoke of. We need to pinch ourselves on that.
Especially with Joel in town.
Oh, my God.
Because you see how you can
look
have
at
a
the
player.
Contrast.
Yeah. I mean, yes. You know, Joel's career is going off the rails in large part because of a lack of physical toughness and a lack of mental toughness.
Yeah.
And Jalen is both physically and mentally tough.
Jalen is so tough, and he and our run game control games.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in taking a sidestep this season to highlight Saquon. Hey, the passing game, okay, we'll take a step to the side. Saquon Barkley running like the MVP of the league, still, we all believe he should be. Saquon in the run game en route to the Super Bowl. There's no shame in saying, okay, let's do what we do best and go win a Super Bowl, guys. His QBR was still 8th in the NFL this year, and we know it was a rocky season at times. He performed like an elite quarterback. And I really do. I think that analogy.
Now, the Donovan thing's interesting. Yeah.
I read in an article somewhere. This is an interesting analogy.
Yep.
He conducted the music of this offense mm-hmm. instead of propelling it in 2024. He did a great job of conducting the offense, not propelling it quite so much as he did in the past.
Well, so, okay, I'm curious, you know, obviously where everyone stands. You can weigh in today, 215-592-9494. James, let me ask you a question here before I give you my series of opinions. Am I going to get crushed today by the callers?
Yes.
A hardcore?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be interested because I know a lot of people have been ready to take a bite out of me, and that's fine. I mean, you know, like this is what WIP is all about. We throw our opinions.
Can I take
around.
A little bite, too?
Sure.
Just a quick bite?
Take a bite.
Listen to this list.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts is the eighth quarterback in NFL history to go to two Super Bowls in his first five seasons. The other seven, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner, Troy Aikman, John Elway, and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Bad quarterbacks, average quarterbacks don't go to Super Bowls in two of 3 years. I don't care who the supporting cast is. We've seen so many great supporting casts throughout the years. I mean, that Vikings team never got to a Super Bowl. I know they got to an NFC Championship game. They had Randy Moss and Chris Carter. And like there have been so many teams. Like, the talent around matters. But this guy still wins with it. Wins at an obnoxious rate.
No, he does. He wins a ton.
At a certain point, you got to step back and say, man, he's pretty good.
So here's where I'm at. I'm going to try to boil it down in a nutshell. So is he better than I thought? Yes. All right, I don't know if that makes anyone happy. There it is.
Don't go overboard with your yes.
You ready for the butt?
No, go ahead. There were parts of the year where I was with you.
Yeah.
I wasn't with you when he's not going to be the quarterback in whatever year.
2 years from now. Yeah.
2 years from now. I didn't agree with any of that. But I changed my whole opinion on the Washington game when he went out. I was like, this offense just works better with him running it. I mean, it just does.
Well, yeah, that game was startling. Then they did pick it up, though, in the game. Subsequent games with the backups, I thought, were pretty impressive.
It was
a different approach, but there was one game Saquon still had a huge game.
Yeah.
So here's where I'm at. Is he better than I thought? Yes, yes. Is he much better than I thought? No, he's not, in my opinion. Now, you may totally disagree with me, and that's fine. I do think the greatness of the team really helps him look a lot better. And I think looking back on it, both Carson and Foles benefited dramatically from a similar greatness of the team.
Most quarterbacks do, though. Like, you don't
know for sure.
It's pretty hard to win without talent around you.
But I'm just giving you a direct. Like, Mahomes to me is an exception to the rule where he really doesn't have much around him on offense. He really doesn't. He's got Travis Kelce, and then not a ton.
And the greatest offensive coach in the history.
No, I get that. So what I'm getting at here is he is better than I thought, but I won't give you much better. He did play a tremendous game the other day, played a great game. In my opinion, that doesn't mean he's great. You know, it's funny. Some people say, like, see, there it is. And it's like, yo, no, I know that's in there, but I also know that was the best of the, I could figure it out, 17, 18 games this year he's played, whatever it's been. So I don't judge someone just purely on, like, what's the best you've done.
What about when played right up there with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
No, that's
Super Bowl 57.
That was his best.
That's in there. And the adage that coaches use in the NFL is, if we've seen you do it once, we know it's in there, we can see you do it again. That's where I have such a problem with this.
Yeah, but my issue with that, John, I'd say, is if I've seen you struggle in the passing game a number of times, you probably struggle in the passing
game.
He's great in the running game.
He's deficient in the passing game. You're deficient at recognizing
deficient.
That this offense has changed every year. Yeah, you are deficient. You don't understand how that affects a young quarterback. How the teaching of an offense, if it's a new offense every single year, it gets very difficult to navigate that. I mean, look at the improvement we saw at the end of this year.
It looks pretty similar to me to past years, to be candid.
He's doing a lot more, though.
He's doing more pre-snap, but the actual plays themselves, I would say it's fairly similar to what they've done. It's still a lot
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
We don't know that.
It's still
there's
a lot
so
of the,
much
well, I do
goes,
know that. It's still a lot of the ride and the side and the whole deal. Yep.
A play. Pre-snap,
of course
post-snap,
of course.
The motions, the personnel, the formation. Like, there's so much that goes into that they can grow from year to year. And they haven't been able to grow any of it because it's been a new offensive coordinator every year.
All right, so look, let's give everyone a chance. 215-592-9494. The Jalen thing, where do you stand? If you want to rip my face off verbally, go for it. If you want to say that you've been aligned with where I've been through the year to a large extent, go for it. Like, this is what WIP is about. We give our opinions, we field your opinions, and we share and discuss in the whole thing. So it's on the table. 215-592-9494. How good is he? How much do you trust him? Does he worry you? Is he underappreciated? All right, one quick question for John and then right to the phones. Different topic than what we were just talking about, but Rhea referenced it in the update. John, no actual real practice yesterday, just one of those estimate things. Did you think they would? Does it bother you they didn't? Is it a trust Sirianni in the moment that he knows what? I mean, normally the team would be off for a week physically and to a certain extent mentally, and that's a good thing. This is obviously a different one because you're not preparing for the rest of the season. You're preparing for one more game. What were your thoughts on what the right course of action should have been yesterday?
It is an opportunity to get a good practice in without distractions, mm-hmm. but
it's also an opportunity to rest, and there is something to be said for that.
I love what he's done with the practicing this year. I do think he told us at the end of last season that he would consider changing the way he operated practice and during training camp and everything else. And I do think he ratcheted up the intensity. I do think that the players themselves, they asked for more. So in some respects, you know, credit the players for being great workers.
Yep.
But his flexibility, his ability to just be, you know, be in touch and communicating and understanding exactly what these guys are looking to do and how to maximize themselves, it's all working at such a crazy high level, and you can't argue with it.
Yeah, I mean, my mindset is trust him. And then also, you know, there is a reason. Without us being, you know, on the ground right next to them, it's pretty easy to see from afar how rest could probably benefit them. They still have a number of days to physically prepare for the game.
The planning.
And yesterday was partially mentally prepared for the game. So,
the coach,
you know, I'm okay with that.
Planning is the massive part right now. Just let's make sure we get all those X's and O's exactly where they need to be. But there, I do think it's important that the players practice to some extent here. You know,
oh, they
in
will.
Your home
today
confines,
they probably will.
This, it feels like this is a great opportunity to get a lot of good reps without all of the extra media everywhere asking you the dumbest questions you've ever heard.
Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. By the way, our pretty extensive conversation with Sirianni yesterday. We will get to that coming up in about 15 minutes. What he told us yesterday. We'll play that for you because I thought it was, you know, a pretty cool interview, and we'll get to that shortly. 215-592-9494. All right, the Jalen Hurts thing. Where do you stand? If you want to, you know, I was going to say kill me, but James, I don't actually mean kill me. But if you want to
be aggressive,
if you want to tackle me
verbally,
verbally tackle me. All right, let's go to Craig. Craig, what's going on, pal?
Greetings to the best damn morning show in the world. How y'all doing, team?
Hey, buddy.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. What's happening, everybody?
Hi, Craig.
Oh, man. What's up, John? How y'all doing? Hey,
super.
Listen, had to call in. Listen, I'm just enjoying my, you know, Hammer, it's just like when you sit on your throne of greatness with your Hammer stuff, you know, that I feel like that this week. I don't even have to win a trivia contest or anything. I just walk around, strut around in my Eagles green, and I just love it, Joe. I just love it, Joe, because they're eating crow. You know, they're sitting around here. Yeah, I don't see any burgundy and gold. I mean, it's almost like they boxed everything up.
Now, let me just say this for those tuning in, don't know, Craig's from the D.C. area, so he's referencing being, you know, down there.
Well, that must be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Hey, I ride by that stadium every day, guys. You just don't know it. I just flip the bird and keep on moving.
Well done. All right, Craig, what do you make of Jalen? What do you make of Jalen and how the conversation's been this year? What do you think?
Listen, Joe, you got to do, you know, I guess, you know, you're kind of like Hugh Douglas, man. You know, you're going to keep dying on that hill, man. Hugh does the same thing. He dies on this hill talking about defense is a luxury and all this other crap. Dude, this is QB1, baby. I mean, listen. You know, what do you want? Do you want a guy? I mean, it's pretty basic. It's out there in front of you. You know, do you want the Herberts, the Allens, and the Burrows? You know, they're the nice, shiny, pretty, you know, car in the dealership, brand new. But guess what? We got a guy that's effective, that's leading. And guess what, Joe? You got to start listening to your elders. Seth gives it to you every time. You got to listen to your elders, man. He is a winner, brother. That's really all that matters, man. The numbers are going to be what it is. Now, you know, I used to be like you in a way, Joe. I mean, the stuff that Hurts does sometimes, it irks me. I mean, there was a play in this last game. I know you guys probably saw it. If you look at the All-22s, you'll see. Dude, if the one last thing I wish he would do, Joe, he's got to learn to throw that ball with anticipation and throw it to a spot before the receiver comes out.
Well, it's one of his weaker elements. Yeah, he's got major strengths, and that's one of his weaker elements.
Yeah, that's the stuff that Burrow and these guys do that he does. If he could ever get that down, Joe, Oh my God, bro, this guy would be.
I agree with that entirely. I think that's dead on. All right, Craig, great call, man. I appreciate it. It's good stuff. Let's get to Kenny in East Oakland. Kenny, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Is it the Super Bowl yet?
Good call, man.
10 days.
You're not kidding. I guess 10, you know what? It would actually be 10 days and just about 12 hours because it normally starts right around 6:30.
My heart has been beating fast since the end of that game, and man, I can't wait. I really can't, and it's unbelievable, man. Like I've been an Eagles fan since I came out the womb.
Yep.
Like when I was a kid, my dad threw out every other ABC block except for EAGLEF. That's it. Like. That's all. Listen, that's all I've ever known. But
yeah.
I want to say some things about Jalen, right?
Yep.
So, Jalen, above everything else, he's resilient, and he always responds when people talk negatively about him, right? Because this wouldn't be Philly if we weren't talking negative about the quarterback. Because name one that we didn't talk.
Yeah, that's good. That's very
about.
True. Yep.
But he does not.
We've also never had a Hall of Famer for what it's worth, meaning, all, and I'm not counting Van Brocklin, who was briefly here and made the Hall. My point is, as great as three or four or five of them have been, they all have had weaknesses that...
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have been worth pointing out.
Jaws was heavily criticized.
Well, Jaws was, Randall was, Donovan was, Carson was.
All
I mean, we go down the line. Yep.
So, but the thing is, I want everybody to realize is this, right? Because everybody says, his stats are bad. He doesn't do this. XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. And before you get to the XYZ, what comes before the XYZ?
Well, W.
I was going to say ABC
it's
also, but okay.
Go ahead. W, what he has so many of.
Look at you.
That's what he wins. He wins. He's a winner. Like, you know, he responds. He does his, you know, he does his work.
Kenny, let me ask you a question. I just want to ask you a question.
What's up?
How do you think he would have done this year if he was the Giants quarterback? That's what he's got around him. I'm just asking, how do you think, because I don't think he gets to 10 wins. I mean, I don't think there's any chance.
Who gets to 10 wins with the Giants? Like,
I think Patrick Mahomes will.
I don't know about that. Behind that offensive line?
Yeah, when I saw Peyton Manning go to Denver,
all of a sudden, take the greatest quarterback of all time, potentially, off the board. Who has succeeded with no talent, other than maybe Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes? Like, it's an unfair standard that you're trying to hold this guy to.
But Kenny,
talent is what you have in the NFL when you succeed.
But Kenny, my point is, the winner thing, like, he could be down at 6 wins if he would. I mean, then he'd be far from 10.
But he never has been, ever once.
No, but he's never played with a team like the Giants and an organization that drafts and develops that poorly.
All you have to do is look at Saquon Barkley.
For not having to play for the Giants, and look what happens when Saquon came from the Giants and came to a great organization. Like, listen, Philadelphia, what did Mrs. Cleaver say? Ward, you've been kind of hard on the Beaver. Like that's what we do. Like,
and you know what, Kenny? If we didn't know 8 Mile, we wouldn't remember that line. Good call, buddy. Right? It's so true. That was sitting near the end of 8 Mile. Well, good morning to you, Jetta Camera and John Ritchie, 94 WIP. All right, let me give you our Twitter poll question of the day. Talking a lot about Jalen today. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevrolet would like to wish the Birds the best of luck. Together, let's drive for a touchdown and another touchdown and another touchdown. Visit ArminChevy.com. Go Birds. All right, poll question. Have people underappreciated Jalen Hurts? A, yes, B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's listen to Nick Sirianni. So extensive conversation with Nick yesterday, covered a lot of ground. Let's get right to it. After this, we'll get right back to the phone lines. But for those listening early that didn't hear the conversation late yesterday, Nick Sirianni with us yesterday. We welcome and congratulate the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great, coach.
Good, Nick. Nick, congratulations to you. I mean, major, massive congratulations. How do you feel?
Yeah, excited, obviously, to be back in this spot. But, you know, it doesn't last long. I wish the wins would last a little bit longer, but you know, we get home that night, we watched and see who we were going to play, and then, you know, had some fun with the family, and then it's right back to okay, here we go, let's watch some tape on the Chiefs, and so feel good, but you know we felt good on Sunday, and now it's just back to business as usual.
Yeah, as it should be. And Nick, I totally respect that, of course, and I know most of this interview will be that, but let's just go to Sunday night a little bit more, the locker room. Your text messages coming in from family and friends and old teammates and old coach. Like, what was Sunday from 6:30 to midnight like for you?
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool to be able to, to sit there and, first and foremost, is celebrating with the players and the other coaches. That's always cool. And going around and just telling everybody how appreciative you are of them. And, you know, hey, we got one more game. Let's enjoy this and have one more game. And it was, you know, to have, you know, pictures with your family on the field with confetti, you know, kind of rolling down on you. That's cool. That's something. The kids playing catch, and my brother's playing catch with my kids after the game on the field. All those things are memories that will always be there with you. And then, you know, just again, like with the players, celebrating with the players. That's such a special moment because you work so hard, you spend your lifetime to get there, and then this team spent, you know, the last whatever many months, almost 9 months to try to get there, and so, you know, that's special. That is special, and so that was a good night, and like I said, they don't last long because you're just always focused on what the next step is.
Nick, how important is it to get good work done in practice this week because the atmosphere becomes a distraction in New Orleans?
Yeah, the stuff that we need to do this week is get a big chunk of the game plan done and redefine it next week, but get a big chunk of it done and install it and have great practices here. I do think you can get good practices there. It's just different. It's just, you know, you're taking a bus to practice as opposed to walking out on your practice field. You have media obligations beforehand. So there's a little bit, your day's chopped up a little bit different, but really this next week and a half is about how we get better. Right. And that's been our goal each and every week. How do we get better this week? How do we get better this week to put ourselves in a position to be successful on Sunday, and that's the same message now. And so, you know, we'll need to go out and have good practices, and that's have good meetings and good walkthroughs, just like we've had, this entire season.
Nick, what did you learn in Super Bowl 57 that you can apply to Super Bowl 59 that will give the team a better chance to win?
Yeah, I think I think a lot of people will be like, "Hey, this is the rematch," and it is a rematch. But this is a completely different team, and they're a completely different team, right? There's elements and pieces that are the same, and so we're not thinking. You know, you obviously will watch the game. You'll watch the game we played last year against Kansas City, in addition to all the film that you watch on them this year. But you know, this is the 2024 season. You know, when you go through, you know, I'm not going to get into everything we're going to do, but when every time you go through a game, hey, we played in a Monday night game. What can we do better on our Monday night schedule? What can we do better? What did we do well? Well, that was the same process we took in 2022. Now, you know, you lose the game in 22, and then you get back and you go through the same process. Win or lose, you go through the same process. What did we like? What did we not like? What can we do better? And so, that's from a scheduling, you know, atmosphere type deal. Like the things, like you don't get to this point of the year and say, as a football point, and go, hey, here's what we're going to do now, right? You go on, you know, that the football part is different. That's consistent. The scheduling stuff and those things like that. We have a couple tweaks that we'll make, and you know, in attempts to get better from it.
Is this team tougher than last year's team? How do you teach toughness to a team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it starts with having tough guys, right? And we have tough guys, right? And that's first and foremost. But the, you know, you talk about, I think you get what you emphasize as a coach. And we constantly, like, we look at toughness in three parts. We look at mental toughness. We look at physical toughness, and we look at relentless effort, which is a form of toughness. And so you were constantly trying to point those things out. Hey, watch the physical toughness of this block combination to the linebacker, and we'll show that in the team meeting. Then we'll show something like, hey, look at this first drive of what happened. We went 3 and out in this first drive, but look how we responded. Look at this mental toughness of this team, or you know, a defensive back gave up a play, and look how he responds with this PBU in a critical moment. That's mental toughness. And we're constantly showing our guys run with relentless effort to the football, or doing the selfless things with, you know, relentless effort. And so you just keep showing them over and over again. I think the a cool quote that I heard was, the burden of leadership is repetition. Like, you just keep going over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And like, coach, I can't do it. And you keep going over it and over it and over and over it. And you just keep doing that. And, but I think, you know, you enhance that by what you do there. But at the end of the day, and at the start of the day, or however you want to say it, it starts with the players and their mentality and their mindset and their toughness.
Yeah.
You know, of that.
Nick Sirianni with us here, of course, getting ready for Super Bowl 59. Nick, you're officially listed as an underdog. Now, that could change, but it hasn't yet. Are you going to, you know, some coaches use that as a rallying cry. Do you plan on using that as a rallying cry with your guys?
No, we don't care about that. We don't care about that.
Nick, it's quite a change. I mean, it is sort of a departure. We've been the big bully for a while now. Do you welcome the fact that we're the underdog to some degree?
Nick, I expected you to say no because I think you're very confident in your team, basically, and that's an external that just is irrelevant to you. That was my expectation of what you would answer. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a fair way to put it. Yeah, we love our team. I think though too, like, you're going in there against a team that's won the last two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a heck of a football team that's won 15 games in the regular season, has phenomenal players all over the field, has, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time on the opposite sideline. And, you know, I got so much respect for this team. And so, you know, again, those are things that you can't control. And so, yes, we're confident in our team and I love our team. But, you know, that's something you can't control, is, you know, being the underdog. Like, it is whatever that it means, like, we don't care about that. It's about controlling what we can control. Cause if you start trying to control, like, not control, if you start thinking about those things that you can't control, that, where does that stop? And so it's, again, here's our process, here's what we need to do, and let's go out and do it.
Nick, one of the things about the game, you know, you've controlled all year the line of scrimmage, and the tush-push has been a just incredible advantage now for multiple years. What Kansas City did was very impressive against Josh Allen last game. I mean, it's force versus force. Does it concern you a bit that they appear to be ahead of the curve at stopping that? I mean, how in your mindset is that as you prepare for this game?
Yeah, you look at every time you go into a game. I don't think it's a secret. You know, teams are going to know that we're running that, and anytime you go into that, you look at all the tape. You know, you watch every quarterback sneak that the defense has defended for the past couple years. I mean, you don't stop it just this year. Like, hey, how is this coordinator plan to stop this for the past, you know, 2-3 years, right? Through 2-4 years. And so you look at all that, we'll look at the ones, and we've looked at the ones from the Buffalo game. They're obviously very good at it. So, you know, we're really good at it too. Like, when you get into games like this, I mean, there's a lot of moments where it's like, it's as good on good. You know, sometimes you go into a game and you're like, hey, and you look at, I don't know, maybe the turnover battle, and you say to yourself, hey, we got a big advantage here because we've taken care of the ball and they haven't. And you kind of go into that. But when you get into this, it seems like there's a lot of good on good. Hey, they're good at this, we're good at this. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got to play with fundamentals and technique, right? And I've said that from the very beginning, when player A is really good at something, is really good player, and player B is really good at something, really good player, when coach is really good at, you know, when the coach calls the right call and the other coach calls the right call, what gives in those scenarios? Well, it comes down to your detail and your fundamentals. And so that's going to be a big part of this game, is your detail and your fundamentals as you go through.
This Chiefs team, they've 17 consecutive wins in one-score games. Those details are part of what makes them so hard to beat. How do you overcome that, Coach?
Yeah, that's a very impressive stat. That means they, when they get into those moments, they find ways to win. You know, you just continue to do the things that you've done. Like, I think our detail's been really good throughout the year. You know, when we talk about detail, we talk a lot about, you know, everyone being on the same page, and we talk a lot about situational football, and we talk a lot about fundamentals. And if you just go into fundamentals, like, at the end of the day, this game has some constants, right? It's about how you tackle. It's about how you block. It's about how you get off blocks. It's about how you take the football away. It's about how you protect the football. It's about how you catch the football. And so those details will always be constant in this game. The team that does that better, you know, has a better chance to win. And we'll focus on our details all week. That's something we can control and focus on those details all week, as I know they will as well. So, you know, but at the end of the day, we got to go out there and execute and call a good game as coaches and get the guys ready to play.
Nick, obviously it's a unique situation as, you know, your team and organization faces Andy Reid for the second time in a Super Bowl. I'm curious, you know, some coaches talk to other coaches quite a bit. You know, I'm sure you and Frank Reich, when he was coaching the Colts, I mean, I'm just curious, how often do you and Andy cross paths, interact? Is it literally just when it's my team versus your team, or are there other times during a year where you guys have some kind of communication?
You know, again, I didn't ever coach for Andy. So,
sure.
You know, maybe I hear, I've gotten a text message from here and there after a win. I've given him a text message here and there after a win, but, you know, I didn't coach for him. He didn't, you know, we don't have that history. I know he was here. And so, you know, you don't tend to share information or anything like that with guys that, you know, you don't know as well. So, I have my other mentors that I reach out to, and, but man, looking at, watching Coach Reid, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for everything that he's done. Obviously, he's one of the best, you know, I would say him and Bill Belichick, best, you know, coaches of all time, ever, as I look at it and as I study it. So a lot of respect there. You know, I'd love to be able to talk to him about stuff, but, you know, this is the second time we're competing for a world championship. I don't know if either of us are willing to give any information to each other, or, you know, I don't know if I have any information to give him, but I know I get a lot from him. So, no, I just can't tell you how much respect I have for him, and just the, you know, his the way he leads a football team, you know, his offensive mind, and just total respect of everything that he's done in his career.
Nick, do you feel like you've improved at motivating your team, your guys, and how do you consistently get this response, this emotional response from your players at the start of every game? They come out ready to play.
Yeah, I think you get better at everything if you're really working on everything, and you have a and if you're realistic with yourself and say, hey, I need to get better here, and you always can get better, as you guys know, you're always looking for ways to get better. And so, you know, my constant message to the team is how are we getting better this week, you know, and it's always through toughness, detail, together is what we talk about a lot. And you know, I guess if I'm asking them to do that, I better be getting better myself. And so, yeah, I think so. That's my goal, and that's my mission, is to always get better at that. I've spent spent a lot of time looking at different things, and you know, these guys are self motivated too. They really are. Like, these guys want this thing bad, and I'm telling them, you know, I'm telling them the truth of football. Again, hey, the toughest team's going to win. Mental, physical. And who plays with great effort? Hey, the team that plays with great detail with their fundamentals and their situational football and being on the same page is going to win. Hey, the closest team together is going to win. And so you just find different ways of saying that over and over and over again, and to motivate what you want the culture to be. But at the end of the day, it's not the words; it's your actions that get your culture. You know, it's your habits and your actions. So, yeah, hopefully I've gotten better at that. That's always my goal. And, again, at the end of the day, we're preaching the truths of football that were true. When you played, right, they were true when my dad played, they're going to be true when my sons play and when my grandsons play. So, sure. Which I don't have yet. So, but, you know, that's the truth of football. And, you just, you know, I think that everyone, when they really look at it, the best teams they've been on have been tough. They've been detailed and they've been together.
You know, Nick, if you win this game, I want you to know we are fully supportive of you taking the whole family to the podium. All right. Just want you to know that. The kids,
well,
your wife, the parents, take them all. Take them all, Nick. Hey, Nick, let me tell you this. Again, congratulations on what you've done to this point. You know this, but I'll say it. The town is beyond psyched. And we here with our show, and obviously WIP is a station, and I know I speak for the entire region when I say we truly wish you the best of luck in Super Bowl 59. And I don't know how else to put it other than good luck, and God bless you in the game, Nick.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick, stay well. Have fun out there, and we'll talk to you. Take care, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Nick Sirianni, our conversation yesterday. You can react, 215-592-9494. Obviously, we covered quite a bit of ground, and, you know, I mean, it's a massive opportunity, and it's a massive responsibility. I mean, the bottom line is the Eagles have made the Super Bowl four times, and they've only won it once. So they got a shot. We know the difference in legacy, win or lose. I mean, it's a massive difference, and it's him versus Andy Reid. It's Hurst versus Mahomes, and it's, you know, team versus team, and they're really all intriguing matchups.